Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. There are times when an opportunity just drops in your lap. It's not the opportunity you want. Sometimes it's an opportunity you would have just as soon avoided, but there it is. And St. Paul says, at every opportunity we proclaim the gospel, we pray for such courage. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Pastor Jay Ranke, who is in the midst of such an opportunity, in just a few minutes. And then we're going to play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week, your chance to pick Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Jay Ranke is pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Williston, North Dakota. Pastor Ranke, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
How do you respond, and I know you've been asked this, but how do you respond to someone who asks, why would you let men who are strangers coming in from out of town sleep in your church?
Well, when someone looks me in the eye and says, Pastor, I've been sleeping in my car for 3 weeks. I can't do it anymore. Can you send me some money to go home? I thought, that was the first guy. And I said, you know what? I've got floor space. It's going to cost me nothing. So I let him sleep on the floor of the church, and that's how it all began. It's just looking at these needs, eyeball to eyeball, and seeing these people saying, help, please. It's very, very hard to say, good luck, and have them walk away.
So at the peak, how many have you had staying in the church?
The most we've had on one night inside the church was about 55 people. And there's other people out in the parking lot. Sleeping in their cars and vans and a few RVs. We don't let them stay there during the day. They've got to be gone in the parking lot by 8 in the morning, and the building, too. Right now, we've got about 40 people in the building. Here's what happened last night. A young couple walks up to the front door of the church just as I pull in. They'd gotten a ride. They got off the bus. They had car problems in Washington State. There's a whole story there. They walk up, and they say, Pastor, we've heard that you might be able to help. And I said, I'm sorry, because this came with a lady, and we were limited, really. We have about 5 women in the church. We have one room. We put them in, and I said, I can't help you tonight. And that's really hard. So last night, they had no place to stay, and we had an inch of rain last night. That's very unusual for North Dakota. It was a rough night. So this morning, one of my vans that I've loaned to somebody else, I called the guy, and I said, any chance I could get my van back, because I need a place for these people to sleep. So I called this guy this morning, and I said, hey, I think you can sleep in my car or my van. And he said, Pastor, thank you so much. Just to sleep in a car, they're grateful.
What is bringing all these people up to Williston?
The promise of jobs. The jobs here are in abundance, and some of them are very, very well-paying jobs. The other day, I took a guy to an oil rig site, a young man who had spent several days in our church, and he called me and said, Pastor, I found out if I can get to the rig site, I can earn. They'll hire me $28 an hour. And I said, okay, I'll try and find you a ride. I said, where is your rig site? It's in Kildare, which is 2 hours away. So I'm sitting with this man in my office thinking, okay, well, how can I help him? And then the young man, I said, by the way, what's your spiritual background? Because I was gone part of last week, so this guy came in when I was gone. I said, what's your background? And he said, Mormon. And I go, really? I said, how active are you? And he says, not active lately, but I was going to go on a mission, but I never did. I said, tell me that story. And so we started talking, and I'm thinking, I've got to take this guy to the rig site. I get 2 hours to talk to this guy about Mormonism. And so I did. And it was a phenomenal visit. But it's those kinds of things. The man, you know, if you can have a $28 an hour job, and they're not all that. People working in fast food restaurants will start at maybe $11 or $12 or $13 an hour. And that's a lot. The problem is housing. Because even if you get one of those jobs, if you don't have a place to stay, well, you can live in your car if you have a car, but it's the jobs and the money.
How big is Williston?
Well, originally it was about 13,000. It has been pretty stable 13,000, 14,000. I really don't know what it is now. It's hard to calculate because there are a lot of man camps, and some of those are outside the city limits. Some months ago, the county put a limit on man camp beds at 9,500 beds. But there are trailers parked around businesses. If you go to the Albertsons store, there's about 10 trailers parked around the store for employees to live in. Now, eventually, those are going to have to be moved. The city passed an ordinance to, you know, nobody can be doing that anymore. But so I really don't know what the population is. Some people say 20,000. Some say more. I really don't know.
Now, let's talk about how often. I mean, I know it's hard for you to keep track of this because you are in the midst of it. It sounds like a whirlwind of activity. How long do people usually stay with you in the church?
That really varies. Sometimes it's just one night. More often, it's probably in the vicinity of 4 to 6 weeks. They go out and they start hitting the job market, and see, some of them don't have cars, so they arrive by bus. We just recently got a bus service. In the last 6 months, we got buses coming into Williston. Now, we've been on Amtrak, which is a great, great, great Amtrak service here. And or however they arrive, and they'll start looking for a job, of course. Some of them have a job lined up, but most of the time they have to find them when they get here. And they might start at a fast food job or a service job or go to a temp agency, which will put them into an oil field, a laborer position somewhere in an oil a warehouse or a yard or something. But they're always looking for the real oil jobs. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while for that job process to go through. And it can be very tedious. I give these guys a lot of credit. I don't know what I would do if I was in their shoes. You know, you go to a place and they say, oh, yeah, we'll put you on the pile of applications. And you don't know, should I go back? Do I keep going back? You know, it varies. We had one young lady who arrived at our door one night, and she had been living in her car during the winter for 3 months. And the only reason she came, she said, Pastor, my car's in the shop. I have no place to stay. So we put her in the building. She actually was in the building for 3 months. That's long, but that's not the first time that's happened. There's been a few that have been that long.
I know they might run together, but what's one of your favorite stories from this entire experience with you and the church and the people who are seeking jobs?
Oh, there are so many stories. And it was totally cool. A while back, I was talking with these guys, and it's always a moving population, so you never have quite the same audience all at the same time. But I said, I'm going to do a creation evolution workshop. Normally, the guys can't come in till 9 o'clock at night. I said, we're opening the doors at 8. You come in for creation evolution. I'm going to challenge evolution. And so I did. And that night opened up so many doors. Guys really began asking questions. And I'd done devotions evenings before. I hammer Christ crucified. I hammer objective justification. We're declared righteous in Jesus Christ. And but one story that hit me just a couple of weeks ago, this guy had been in just a few days, and he's sitting in my office on a Saturday. And he says, you know, Pastor, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I was raised, you know, Catholic. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe, you know, he died for us. And he says, but I also believe Islam is true. And I also believe Judaism is true. And I believe Hinduism is true. I'm going, oh, Lord, what do I do with this? And I just let him talk and talk and talk. And he starts to say, you know, I don't get to talk like this very often. This is kind of fun. And he just keeps talking. And at one point, maybe even an hour into the conversation, I finally said, you know, I hear what you're saying, but there's a fly in this ointment. And he said, what's that? And I said, you know, every other prophet will say there is truth, but Jesus says, I am the truth. No prophet can say that. And he goes, you're right. And the wheels start turning, and he is sitting in a chair about 2 feet from me, 3 feet from me. And at one point I said, you were raised Catholic, right? He says, yeah, my grandmother was. I said, so you were baptized into Christ, right? And he says, yeah. And I said, did you know that when you were baptized, God took you from your baptismal font in Phoenix and took you back to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and put you to death with Jesus Christ and buried you with Christ and raised you with Christ and brought you back to Phoenix? And he looked at me, and he grabbed my arm, and he stood up, and he yanked me up. And then he gave me a hug, and he said, Pastor, I'd never heard that before. and he sat back down, and then he looked at me again, and he grabbed my arm, and he stood up, and he pulled me up, and he hugged me again, and he said, "Pastor, I've never heard that before." And this guy is so on fire for the gospel. I mean, I'm doing adult instruction usually 3 or 4 nights a week. I have 20 or 25 guys in there and some women. And they're not all going to become church members, but they are hearing stuff they've never heard before. And I challenge them. One guy last week in one of these studies, I'm sorry to just keep talking here, but there's just so many stories I could tell. But one of these guys who was actually used to be a youth minister at some non-denominational church, said, "You know, Pastor, I was down at an event downtown here in Williston," and he said, "One guy came up and wanted 60 cents for gas," he said, "and God spoke to me, and God said, give him $5. So I gave him $5, and I said, you know, the idea of giving him $5 it might be a good idea, but I got to tell you what, when you say God spoke to you, I got red flags all over the place. Red flag, red flag, red flag." He goes, "What?" I go, "Yeah. When you say God spoke to you, there's an issue. There's an issue there." And the whole group is now engaged with this discussion. And we talk about how the foundation of the church is the apostles and the prophets. And we don't find God's word in our heart. We find it in his word. And it was just so cool to walk this whole group through that. And this guy is still kind of, "What?" He's still questioning. But the group got it. And it was just, and very often I will say to them, I'll make you two promises. I will never answer the question, why? Because people think that getting answers to that question is where our comfort lies. It's not. God does not give us comfort by answering the question, why? He comforts us by giving us himself. And the light bulbs start to go off. The switches start to go on. They go, "You're right." People try to answer the question, why? It doesn't work. And I said, the other promise I'll make is, I'll never say you just have to have faith. Because everybody's got faith in something. What distinguishes us isn't that we've got faith. What distinguishes us is Jesus Christ. So the issue is always to get to Jesus Christ, and how does Christ crucified get us where we need to go and be the answer that we're looking for? I got to tell you, sometimes I feel like I've died and gone to heaven having these kinds of opportunities. But there are difficulties. There are difficulties, that I can tell you.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Pastor Jay Ranke, pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Williston, North Dakota, about his church providing a place for job seekers to sleep, and it sounds like a pivotal time in his pastoral ministry.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed. Demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville, 618-656-0500, 656-0500.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
God has been calling LGBT people to ministry for a long time.
Wir sind alle Bettler. We are all beggars. That's why we begin our divine service with I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities.
Whenever the congregation in worship seeks to tickle your fancy or cater to your preferences or try to entertain you, then the focus of the service is turned away from Christ, and it focuses worship on us, on what we want, prefer, desire, whatever.
Teach. Maybe that's all we need to do. Recommit it to what we've been given. It is so precious.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a sampling there of the four soundbites that you can listen to and vote for. You only get to pick one. We want to know where you're listening and why you're voting for the soundbite you are, and that starts in about 20 minutes. 1-877-623-6943. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or by sending us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. 20 minutes, and it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Jay Ranke is our guest. We're talking about his church providing a place for job seekers to sleep. And it sounds, Pastor Ranke, like this is a pivotal time in your pastoral ministry.
I'll tell you what. Here's something. Because, I mean, there are foreign student workers they're bringing into work here. And we've had some of those, not all of them, but they come here for like three months at a time. We've had some parties for them, and that's given me the opportunity to share the gospel with them. But then they're gone. You know, they don't become members of this church, you know, but they've heard something. But here's what happens often. When these people come in the door, and I'm the one orienting them, and I'm not the only one now. There's some other folks that are helping do this. But I'll look at them, and I said this last night to three guys that came in the building. I said, gentlemen, I have to be honest with you. When you come in the door, I look at you and I think, oh, Lord, not another one. Because quite frankly, you represent a burden to me. But I said, let me tell you this. I say, I need to say this for my sake as well as yours. You are a gift. You are a gift to us, and you are a gift to Williston. Welcome. It's good to have you here. And I have to say that because I have to remind myself they are my neighbor. God put them into my life, and they change my life. And sometimes I don't want my life changed, but they're my neighbor. And so I've got to love them. And what I see happening in Williston is, unfortunately, people are afraid of the neighbor. And we're saying no. And people are acting out of fear. And so I see this as a time for us to say, stop serving the fear. Let's love one another. Let's love them. And I even say that to, I put letters to the editor saying, let's love our neighbor, folks. You know, and it could be such an opportunity for us to grow as a community and to say, we're going to welcome the neighbor and welcome the change. Of course, nobody likes that. Nobody likes change. But it is hard. It is hard because it's I struggle with, are we really weaving them into the congregation? Many of them, of course, come to worship, but many of them don't have a habit of being in church. And then when they get an oil field job, you're lucky to see them again. That's a frustration. Several have joined the church, but when you say pivotal, it's an opportunity that, they literally walk in the door, and I get to talk to them. It's just wow.
What do the regular parishioners think about all this, Pastor Ranke?
Actually, it's a little mixed. Some of them are just excited by it. But one of the things I've had to struggle with is that when you have people sleeping in your church, especially for women in the church, this is their home. And you know how for a woman, home is a place, it's a nest. And to know that there are strangers here, and we really try to to help so women don't feel afraid, and they're not all afraid, but it's hard to think, I'm going to come into the church, I'm going to bump into a strange man here. So we normally don't have them come in the building till 9 o'clock at night, unless I've got a class going or unless there's something special, and they're gone by 8 in the morning or very soon after. So we really try to make sure that doesn't happen. But because people come here, they do come in the building during the day. They're looking for help, and that can be distressing. And there's a kind of a sense for some of the women, especially, that our home isn't really our home anymore, and that's a legitimate feeling, and I have to somehow honor that and not just sort of dismiss that. In some instances, the presence of a strange man has reminded women of a previous trauma, and that's a very hard thing for them to deal with. And although we're a friendly congregation, we're not you know, people are by nature a little bit shy, and so sometimes welcoming the people is not always easy. But there's a graciousness to it, though. There's a graciousness. But it is not always easy. It's not as easy as one might think. You feel like, wow, things have changed. And sometimes the one place people don't want change is at church. But I don't want to, you know, it has created some stresses. And then you got to deal with stuff like making sure that everything gets mopped and vacuumed every morning. You know, we do that. And to make sure things are clean, because it's easy when you have this many people for things just to kind of slide downhill. So and this has been some difficulty.
Personally, you've gotten a lot of media attention. I just finished, before we got on together, watching CBS raw footage of their treatment of your story, and I know that you have been interviewed by many media outlets. What's it like having all the media attention as a kind of small-town Lutheran pastor?
It's very strange, and I have to ask myself, am I serving the camera or am I serving the people? At 3 o'clock this afternoon, I'm meeting with a reporter from the London Times. He's flying out from Boston. Now, I'm not the only person he's going to meet, but in the Williston story, in this oil boom story, we've become a chapter. And the thing that I have to tell you is when, especially the foreign media, we've had news cameras here. The Korean Broadcasting System crew stayed here for two nights. We've had Japanese public television, several crews from France, CBS News, CNN, NBC was here, and you know, little clips here and there. But you know, it is a lot of media, and there's a lot more print media that happens. But what's astounding is the reporters go, are other churches doing this? I say, well, no. And I don't try to speak ill of them. And they go, wow, it's wonderful. It's stunning for me to see the reporters react to this. They are moved by what they see. They're moved. And it's neat to see their reaction. Just this life, this collection of humanity. It's very, very moving.
And is there any end in sight for this? Is this... I mean, I know that jobs come and go, but it sounds like this has become a long-term project for you and the congregation.
Well, I don't know. You know, we're struggling with what do we do? Do we sort of move into more of an institutional thing? What do we do? And I don't know. It's a little bit like riding a tidal wave. That's how I describe it. Is you're not sure how far this crest is going to take you. Or sometimes it's like riding the rapids. You're not sure where the next rock is. And you think, okay, where are we going here? Always adjusting, always thinking, okay, do we need to ask this person to leave? And do we have too many people? And how do we make sure the neighbors are happy? It's been a problem that the local media, quite frankly, you know, they've kind of tried to create some distress for us. That's been a frustration. And so we got to make sure to pay attention to the neighbors. But in terms of where this is going, I don't know. It wasn't a planned venture. It sort of started to happen. And so exactly how do you institutionalize it, I don't know. And that's where I feel I'm my own sense of weakness. I'm not quite sure. So we're just riding it until maybe a course of action becomes sort of obvious or clear. But you're right. We don't know when it's going to end. It doesn't look like, I mean, this expansion of oil is going to keep going for a long time. You know, hopefully in the next couple of years the housing will catch up. But the housing is just... is the issue. And once that gets settled, that'll start to calm things, I think. But that might be, I don't know, a couple of years. I don't know.
Two quick final questions, Pastor Ranke. One is, how would you respond to somebody who says, look, this sounds like social gospel, not the gospel? Respond to that one, if you would.
Well, first of all, my neighbor, if a person is hungry, I can't just say, God bless you. I have to try to give him food. It's just, these are people God created. And so I have an obligation to somehow serve them. But I would also say, we are definitely, definitely making it a word thing. Last night I led devotions for, 25 minutes. We sang a hymn and I'm reading scripture. And not everybody is there, but most of them are. And we invite people from the parking lot to come in. So there's definitely word going out. And tonight at 7:30, I'm continuing with my adult instruction. And like I say, I'll have 20 to 25 people there. And whether they become members or not, I don't know. But they're getting the word and it's shaping them. I've had people say, Pastor, I've never heard this before. I've never heard it this way before. They've never heard objective justification. You are righteousness, not because you're so faithful, but because he died for you. He declares you righteous. And they've just never heard that. And so, yeah, it's social, but it's social plus the word. And I get blessed. I am the one being the blessed because I get to know these people and love them, and they love, you know, receive their love. I am the recipient of blessing in all of this. Oh, man.
All right. When we come back, we're going to spend a little, just a few more minutes with Pastor Jay Ranke, and then it's time for Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Jay Ranke is pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Wilston, North Dakota. You've seen his story in the news. They have been allowing people to sleep in the church, and it's more, so much more than simply an opportunity to help the neighbor. It's an opportunity to help them in an eternal way as well. When we come back, a few more minutes with him live this Friday afternoon, July the 13th. Our call-in number, keep these in mind for Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, because Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week starts in just a few minutes, and we'll be playing it live. Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. We've left space there for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Remember, whenever we play Soundbite of the Week, we give away the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pin, and bumper sticker to the listener with the best vote on this Friday afternoon, July the 13th. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The latest Issues Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What the United States can learn from Chile.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A long-standing argument of abortion advocates is that keeping abortion legal keeps it regulated and safe. This, so the reasoning goes, is better for women's health in the long run. So a ban on abortion causes an increase in maternal health problems and even death rate, right? Wrong. Therapeutic abortion was banned in Chile in 1989 after years of being legal. Yet Chile today boasts one of the lowest maternal death rates in the world, outstripping the United States. Turns out legal abortion is not a good measure of women's health.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
We're talking with Pastor Jay Ranke on this Friday afternoon, July the 13th. This church is providing a place for job seekers in Williston, North Dakota, in the midst of an oil boom, a place for them to sleep at night. Sounds like a small thing, but it's turning out to be a big thing. I guess the question that's on my mind and listeners' mind is, what can we do to help? What can our listeners do to help, Pastor Ranke?
You think I'd have a good answer to that question, but I don't. There's a church that somehow in Wisconsin, Cedarburg, Wisconsin, some lady came to her pastor and said, I hear about this Williston thing. Why don't we take an offering for Williston? They took an offering and they sent us $2,700. And I'm going, okay, what do we do with this? Because the people who stay here, they actually, we ask $25 a week. And so not all of them are able to pay because they're still in the process of finding jobs. And so, but some of them give more. And so every week there's probably between $500 and $700 goes into our offering plate from the people staying here. I mean, that buys the toilet paper, that buys the paper towels, that buys the, you know, the, so, you know, in terms of expenses, we're, it's not that expensive of a deal. Oh, now we have a porta potty out back, which costs $200 a month, for the people in the parking lot so they can, because we lock the doors at night, so they got a place to use the bathroom. I would say pray and welcome the neighbor and let the neighbor change you and let the neighbor change your life. And we just, God has just sort of put us in a spot where we get new neighbors without our even asking. And I realize that's not the case for many situations, but to somehow let the neighbor change your life. That would be just to believe that and to believe, I guess, to treasure what we have as Lutheran Christians. We have a message nobody else is saying clearly. I believe that. That to tell somebody, oh, man, the Amish man that stayed here who has five children. And I said, are your children baptized? And he said, no. And I said, I'd like to talk to you about that. He came to me one night. And he said, Pastor, tell me about baptism. And I said, and I walked through our death and resurrection of Christ and how Jesus says we're born again. He says, Pastor, I've never heard this before. I've never heard it. Now, he's gone back to Michigan, and I don't think his kids are baptized. But what that tells me is we have a message no one else is saying. So let's get the message out and teach. Because people just are hungering for it. And when they hear it, their eyes are just open. It is just so exciting. It is so exciting. So just to be recommitted to our teaching, maybe that's all we need to do, recommitted to what we've been given. It is so precious. And I get to see some people who've never heard it, and they hear it, and their lives are changed.
Pastor Jay Ranke is pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Williston, North Dakota. Thank you very much for the work that you're doing. Please keep it up. I know it's difficult and taxing, and thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. It is a privilege. God bless you and all that you do. God bless you.